Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. I'm trying to finish here this morning. Hallelujah. Look among the nations and see and be amazed. Look amongst the nations and see and be amazed. For I will do a work in your days, which even if it be told to you, you will not believe it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things. Somebody say wonderful. He will do wonderful things in front of his people. I want to speak to you today on the topic of an amazing Savior that you and I serve. Of how important it is for us to understand that Jesus is just as amazing today as he was when you first met him. That Jesus is just as wonderful as he was when you first fell in love with him. Let it be a year or 20 or 30, and for some of us 40 years ago, that we met him and fell in love with him. I want you to know this morning that he's still just as amazing. Amazing by definition means fantastic, or is synonymous to words like fantastic. He's wonderful. He's excellent. Incomparable. More than normal. Above average. Something beyond expectancy. When it comes to the normal things that we see that are great, God is far beyond that. And we've all experienced the feelings of wonderfulness, if you will, or awesomeness in our lives. We've used the word of wonderful and amazing many times, all of us, for many different reasons and various times. For example, when we go out and buy that car you so much wanted because your car that you had is now malfunctioning, and someone should ask you, how about that car you got? What do you say? Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Works like a charm. What you're saying to you, it's beyond average. Wow, it's everything I wanted. Or when you're working and you're living in an apartment, but all of a sudden God allows you the finances to be able to go buy that dream home that you've always been praying for with your family. And after a few weeks or a couple of months, you see a friend of yours and say, hey, how's that new home of yours? Oh, it's marvelous. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's awesome. When you go and you buy something, anything it might could be that you need, you describe it many times as amazing. But as everything else here in this world, it's temporal. The kind of amazing that we understand here in material things, you and I know that it's always been temporal. That car that you bought, when you first get that car, all you want to do is wash it and clean it. You won't allow anybody to step in your car with dirty shoes. No. Take your shoes off. You won't take your sister or your brother in the car anymore because they're always dirty. If it's raining, you don't want to take it out because the wheels will splatter mud on its side. Or if you see a puddle of water, you'll take another route to be able to go around because that car is special for you. But after a while, you've owned that car for a few months now, and the bills start coming in, and months start passing by, and all of a sudden you'll know that what was amazing 9 months ago is not so amazing anymore. Now you say, hey, how's that car? Nah, it's there. You don't wash it anymore, you don't clean the tires anymore, and you don't care who climbs on the car anymore, or how they are, sweaty or not. When you live in a home and start cutting the lawn and begins to rain and hail and the wind gets a glimpse of it as well, and all of a sudden becomes a chore to take care of it. And when you speak to another couple, a friend of yours that knows you had just purchased that home but a year or two ago, you say, how's that new house you got? Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And it seems to lose its marvel. It seems to lose your amazement of it. Why? Because cars break down. After a while, they begin to leak oil. And brand new homes, when they're marvelous at the beginning, after a few years, the roofs begin to leak. And they begin to depreciate, and not only in value, but in your own heart as well. And so, that's the chain of purchase. This is why we continuously go every time we can to buy new things. Why? Because of the feeling of marvelous. The feeling of that joy that having something that works brings to your life. So the stores and the commerce around us are so happy to have things break on you because you always want the feeling of something that always works perfectly. Remember getting into that new car and your guest in the car says, I love the smell of new. Soon enough, the car stops smelling new. And it starts smelling like you. The marvelous seems to go. But that's the way it is with all things material. And we should understand that. And of course, we know that after all, the Bible does say that the heavens and the earth will pass away. Everything material. They'll pass away because time will depreciate it. The elements will come and hit against it. Even the materials by which it is made, it's fragile. It falls victim of that fragility and it begins to decay. But the Bible speaks to us of someone who remains amazing. Amazing forever. Just as when you met him, even if it was 40 years ago like me, he's still just amazing today. Just like when you met him a few years ago, he's just as amazing at this very moment. The Bible says of who it is I'm talking about that he is the same yesterday, today, and yesterday, today, and the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Nothing shifts in him. Nothing changes him. He is not dependent or held hostage by time or the elements. He's the same as when you met him. He is the same today, now that you know him. And what I'm saying this morning today is that while wonderful things that we know here on earth begin to depreciate after time, Jesus will never depreciate. He's just as amazing. He remains just as wonderful. We should all hold him as amazing as when we first met him. Do you remember when you met Jesus the first time? Is he still as amazing as he was when you met him? Do you still treat him, if I was to use him as an example of that car that you washed him daily, you would allow no dirty things to get on it. You always made sure it was full to the brim of fuel. You made sure that every component was working. You paid a lot of attention to that particular thing. Do you pay attention to Christ today? Just like you did when you first said, oh, he's marvelous. He's so amazing. Or have we, like all things in this world, allow him to depreciate and consider him now less able and less valuable? In Christ, ladies and gentlemen, we find qualities that we cannot find anywhere. We cannot find them anywhere else, and wonders that never diminish in him. It is my purpose this morning for the next few minutes to encourage you that you and I as believers might continue to love God and to appreciate God with the same marvel and amazement. He has not changed. He is the same. But all we have to do to be honest with ourselves is look in the mirror and look at our walk with God and our relationship with Him. And we can be honest with ourselves and say, do I still love God the way I loved Him when I first met Him? Like when I first bought that beautiful house that I thought was incredible and there was no other house like it. When I look to my Savior, do I still see Him and say, wow, He's just as shiny, He's just as valuable, He's just as precious, amazing, and wonderful as when I met Him these many years ago? Or has He now depreciated in amazement in your life? Do you still consider Him amazing? Now I say this also, not only to encourage those of us who believe and know Him, but for someone maybe this morning who does not know Him, that you might come to meet Him, not in some religious way, some traditional way, but you might come to meet Him as an amazing and wonderful Savior. Because that's who He is and what He is. I was thinking throughout this week, and a lot of things happen in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. This week was a pretty heavy week, I'm sure, for many people. We have Brother Alvarado here, whom we share our deepest condolences for the passing of his sister. We prayed for Sister Oli Lopez a few weeks, and we've been praying a long time, and the sovereignty of God and His decision, He would decide to take His angel home. And we agree with God. What else can we do? And we know deep in our hearts that what she's experiencing today outdoes anything we could ever experience on earth. And that is to be in the presence of the Lord. But there is much pain left behind for those who have felt that separation, even though it's temporary. And so we share our hearts. I've been speaking to Brother Lopez, her husband, a good friend and brother, and he's doing as well as he can with the comfort of the Lord. And of course, he's being lifted up by the prayers of all of us and his church as they pastored, and many of their friends as well. But a lot of things happen in our lives that sometimes cause us to forget the amazingness, if you will, of God. Things that come to discourage us and I not look at God as the same. And I look at my own life and there are things in my own life. This morning, I got a praise report to tell you. This morning, I want you to know that last night actually was a very tough night for me physically. I came in this morning's service very ill. I feel a little weak still today because I'm taking a lot of drugs from the doctors that are giving me, and I'm supposed to go to Houston this coming month for the adjustment of something because they are really, really taking my strength. And this morning I was very ill and so thankful that we have prayer warriors here. They went and prayed for me in my office. And today I feel stronger. Every time I stand behind the pulpit, I feel the strength of the Lord. But I was thinking of the Lord and I was saying, Lord, you know, you're incredible. You know, you hold me up when I can't stand up. You heal my body regardless of how hurt I'm feeling. This morning I had to hold on to the pulpit a little bit simply because I needed the strength to withstand the time that I stand here talking to you. But I thought of how God is so good to me in my life. And I find Him, as I was preparing for this message this week, thinking of how amazing He is. There are things that we know about the Lord that maybe you have forgotten. Things I want to remind you of this morning for the next few minutes that make Him so amazing. In hopes, ladies and gentlemen, for you to remember that everything you found out He was years ago, He still possesses today. That what He was able to do when you met Him years ago, He's still able to do for you today. That just as wonderful and amazing as He was when you met Him in that day, He's still just as amazing and wonderful today. And so by this, you could love him with great fervor, with great joy on a daily basis. So what has not changed about him? Well, number one, his love is still all-inclusive. This may not sound so divine to some of us when I say, well, God's love is inclusive of everyone. Big deal. He's God. He loves us. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And it sounds easy because it's simply said in words. So why do you say that's marvelous, Pastor? And I ask you this morning, have you considered the world he loves? Have you considered who it is that lives in the world he loves? Have you considered the hearts of humanity in the world he loves? Have you considered the crime, the hatred, the racism, the ugliness that exists in this world? Have you considered your own life, how you used to live, us existing in this world? Have you considered what's going on against man, man against man, nation against nation, all this ugliness that we live, all the sin, all the perversion that goes on in this world? Now, say it again, for God so loved the world. Doesn't that sound amazing to you? It's incredible to think that as we look at the world, we are looking at something God has willfully decided to love, to care for, to be concerned about. This is why you and I are saved, because of that love. And it's amazing how I pray the world would see how amazing that love is, how incredible that love is. They would be thankful to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to tell you this, and don't be offended. Some of us, if not all of us, and more likely all of us, don't deserve that love. Amen? I know that when I think of my own life, I had to stop talking about it this morning because I got a little too emotional. When I think of who I was before Christ, when I think of the things and how I used to live, the things that I used to do, the thoughts that I used to think, the places I used to go, the rage in my heart, the things that I experienced within myself, the rebellion in my own heart over all things and even God, and then to stop and think that Jesus would still love me. It's marvelous. To me, it's incredible. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're like me, there may be days in your life that you know you don't deserve that love. When I look at myself in the mirror at times, even now today, I say, Lord, you still love me? Like for real? Like for real, God, you love me. In all my shortcomings, in all my frailties, in the times that I fail, in the emotions that I go through, in all these things, the suffering that I go through, and the complaining and the moaning that I may do, Father, you still love me. That's incredible. How do you do that? I don't even love myself at times. God so loved the world, ladies and gentlemen. And that's an amazing thing to never forget. If you ever think his love is no big deal, look at the world he loves. Look at the world that you live in. We as people don't even love the world we live in. His love is completely different than ours. We don't love with an agape love. We don't love with an unconditional love. We love because you like me, and if you don't, I don't love you anymore. I'm nice because you're nice to me. The moment you're not, then you're nothing to me. That's the kind of love that we know as people. This is why you've had many friends in life, but you have those friends no more. Something happened.
But God's love is eternal for us, ladies and gentlemen. In spite of our frailties and shortcomings, I believe it's wonderful and miraculous. And it's wonderful to know that He still loves us. You know, while we were sinners, the Bible says that you and I were dead. Every single one of us. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and He gave life to you. Why would He give life to us if we were alive? But He gave life to us because we were dead. He says, when you were dead in your trespasses and your sin. I've got something to say about those who don't live with Christ. Regardless of their opinion about their own lives, the Bible says without Christ we are dead. This world becomes a huge and gigantic cemetery that we live in today, with people, dead people walking about everywhere just waiting to be buried in the dust. We are dead without Christ. Life is only found in Him. But yet the Bible says He loved us so, just like He did Lazarus. Even after days he was dead, He called him out of the tomb and He gave us life through His Son. Isn't that amazing? Don't you find that marvelous about the Savior? When Jesus saw me, ladies and gentlemen, He knew I didn't need to be rehabilitated. Every single one of us in this place, those of us who are saved, when Jesus came to you, He didn't come to rehabilitate you. I'm rehabilitated. That's not good enough. Jesus knew that we needed to be resuscitated. We needed to be resurrected to a new life in Him. We weren't sick, as many would assume. We're just sick. We're not sick. We were dead. That's what the Bible says to us, that without Christ, the only difference between a corpse today and us might be the simplicity of physical decay. But I can tell you that an alcoholic without Christ is not any more dead than a lawyer without Christ. That someone who lives under a bridge without Christ is no more dead than him who is in the White House is dead without Christ. A poor man without Christ is no more dead than a rich man without Christ. They were all dead. And yet the Bible says that Jesus, while we were still dead in our sins, died for us to give us life. Don't you find that amazing? The Bible says that you and I were disobedient by nature. Ephesians 2 and 1. And He gave you life to you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. What does that say to us? That we were dead sinners and disobedient, not following the ways of the Lord, but following the ways of our flesh. That there was nothing within us that could ever take us to a place of righteousness on our own merits. But yet the Bible says that the Lord, when He came to us, He gave us the mind of Christ. He gave us the life of His Son through His Son. His love does not change for us, ladies and gentlemen. Regardless and in spite of how disobedient we've been, the Lord is always waiting for us to change our mind. I told the church this morning, and I've said this to you a couple of times, the Lord loves us so much that He'll never let us backslide properly. He'll always be on us to speak to us, to comfort us, to encourage us. The Bible says we were depraved of mind. That mind that tells us that even our minds were lost. The same passage, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, tells us, the Bible says that we were following the nature, our sinful nature, and following the desires and thoughts. That means that all the thoughts that we had were always towards the flesh, never to please God. This is why we always never conform to the pattern of this world, but the Bible tells us we should be renewed in our minds, in our thoughts, to think of Christ, to always consider Him at highest level in our lives, to always treasure Him. To be depraved of mind means to be corrupt and perverted, deviant and degenerate. And that's what people are without Christ. Our minds run off in the wrong way all the time. But when we come to Christ, he comes to give us a new mind in him. I find that amazing. That now we entertain our thoughts in things of the Lord versus in things of the flesh. Can you say amen? The Bible even says that without Christ we are condemned. That we won't be, we are. In present tense. The Bible says in John 3:16 and 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans, that therefore there is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Are you glad? But the Bible says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is what? Will be condemned tomorrow. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says already. So that means that the world that walks without Christ already is positioned for its eternal judgment. Without Christ, we have no hope, ladies and gentlemen, of any justification. It is through him alone that we are justified unto God. Amen. The Bible says the Lord sent his Son. And he paid the price and gave us the open opportunity for every single one of us to find peace with God. To come to him. Bring us out of the world with a giant invitation card. And he called it Mount Calvary, where his Son died to make a way for you and I. To no longer live lives condemned, but to live lives saved. And finally this morning, we find out that he's amazing because he's determined to keep us. He always contends to keep us. The Bible says that he is a mediator. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 6 says, but I will defend my house against the marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor invade my people, because now I am watching. And the Bible says to us in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am therefore going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, so that you are, that where I am, you may be also. God's plan, ladies and gentlemen, is to keep us. God wants you saved. And he's doing everything he can, and he can do so much, to stand in the gap for you. He stands like that father at the porch of his house with the light on, waiting for his prodigal son to come and return to our senses, to come to him. To look at him and understand that he really is a marvelous God. For those of us who have been saved for a while, that sometimes we forget how awesome God is, remember these things. No one will ever give you what he has given you. No one will ever love you the way he has loved you. No one will forgive you the way he has forgiven you. No one will contend for you the way he fights for you as a mediator day and night. No one has taken it upon himself to obey the Father when he said, it is my Father's will that I lose none. That means that God is going to do everything he can to encourage you up the path of righteousness to get you home with him. And to me, ladies and gentlemen, in simple words, that's amazing. That makes it all the worthwhile for me to stand up here at this pulpit and speak about him. Because whether we believe it, understand it or not, he loves you. He does not want you lost. He wants you with him forever.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.